From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Friday, September 15th, 2017. And on this day, what's behind a new, very positive economic impact report on a proposed York County casino? And Verizon is not cutting off as many Downeast customers as previously reported, but some say it's still too many. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
Verizon says its decision to pull wireless services down east will affect only a few hundred customers, not 2,000 as had been previously reported. But as A.J. Higgins reports, some critics say that number is still way too high.
In an email, corporate spokesman David Weissman said the company's termination notice will take effect on October 17th and affects only 213 customers. But Jason Sullum says that's still unacceptable.
One customer, as far as we're concerned, is one customer too many.
Sullum is a spokesman for Maine Wireless LLC, the company that paid for the construction of 13 towers in the region over the last 3 years as part of Verizon's national effort to expand access in rural areas. Sullum says that with a countywide population of about 31,000 people, the sudden loss of service for 200 cell phone customers is likely to have a significant impact on public safety in Washington and eastern Hancock counties. And Sullum says he's heard that the disruption will also affect any new customers seeking service from Verizon in that region.
Verizon is restricting any new customers in those areas. So when you talk about what that final number is, what they have indicated is a final number of current customers who have received a termination letter. However, that doesn't take into account the number of people that are in that area that can't even sign up as new customers for the service, which is certainly not what was part of the original intent of building this network.
A Verizon spokesman declined to offer any immediate comment on whether new customers would be able to sign contracts in the area. According to the Technology and Science News website, ARS Technica, Maine is among 13 states where a total of 8,500 rural customers have been disconnected. As in other states, the Maine customers were supported by Verizon's LTE and Rural America program, which relies on a partnership with small rural carriers who lease Verizon spectrum in order to build their own networks. Barry Hobbins, Maine's public advocate, says Verizon staged a campaign to recruit new customers down east as part of the expanded tower network 3 years ago.
They advertised unlimited rural area and all of that, so everyone signed up.
But Verizon now says that those customers are incurring roaming charges that are just too expensive to maintain. And that's the reason the company gives for dropping the coverage.
People seem to not know what to do.
That's Sarah Craighead Debman, the editor of the Machias Valley News Observer, and she says calls have been coming in from Verizon Wireless customers who are denying the company's claim regarding excessive roaming fees. And she is also one of those Verizon customers who got the boot.
Verizon is definitely a 600-pound gorilla, and we've seen a lot of people who have lost their service sort of throwing their arms up and saying, there's nothing more I can do.
But some help could be on the way. Hobbins says he will meet with Maine Attorney General Janet Mills and Maine Wireless attorneys next week to explore options the state might consider to address what many see as an unfair business practice by the second largest telecommunications company in the world. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
A controversial campaign to build a casino in York County is touting an analysis that says the project will bring millions of dollars in state revenues, thousands of jobs, and a boost to the region's household earnings. The analysis was paid for by Progress for Maine, the political action committee leading the campaign to approve Question 1. We have brought in political correspondent Steve Missler to talk about those projections and whether we should take them at face value. Steve, what should we think of this economic impact analysis?
Well, I think we should be very skeptical. I think the way to look at these is to look at them the same way we look at politicians when they're on the campaign stump, which and they tend to overpromise and underdeliver. And that's been the case of casino campaigns in Maine. Let's take Oxford County, the casino campaign from 7 years ago. The campaign promised 1,700 year-round jobs and $60 million in annual revenue to the state. And that's considered a pretty successful operation, but it's fallen short of those promises. A report 2 years ago pegged the number of full-time jobs there at about 400. That's less than a quarter of what the campaign promised. And according to the latest state revenue reports, Oxford provided about $32.5 million last year in state revenues, and that's more than half of what it promised 7 years ago. So I think, and you could see the same story at Hollywood Slots in Bangor. In fact, at Hollywood, they have seen a steep decline in slot revenues there to the point where they were asking for a big property tax break from the town.
So can we extrapolate out from this and say that these casino proposals are not a good deal for Maine?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, in fact, if you talk to Bangor officials, they credit the casino there for giving that city, helping that city's economic revival. And the 400 or so people working at Oxford Casino would have to find work elsewhere, right, if there wasn't a casino. So, you know, and Oxford is also seems to be a bit of a draw for tourists, which might explain why the casino participated in the Adopt-a-Highway program for a stretch of highway in New Hampshire, not Maine. And both have contributed millions of dollars in state revenue, revenue that would arguably not otherwise be here.
People have said that Maine can't support a third casino. Didn't Governor LePage say something like that when there were several casino referendums on the ballot in 2011, actually?
Yeah, he did. The governor, I should say, that he doesn't support gambling in general. But I think he was trying to make an economic argument 6 years ago, not an ideological one. But 3 years ago, the legislature commissioned a study about the viability of a third casino. It's called the White Sands Report, and it suggested that the state could support a third gambling facility under certain conditions. And the first of those is that it should be located in the southern part of the state. Now, that would seem to bode well for question one, which is proposing to do this in York County. The study also had a key caveat, and that's that the developer of the third facility would invest at least $250 million to make the casino a tourist destination, a nice place. That's the thing with question one, though, that there's nothing in that ballot question that requires that kind of investment or any investment at all.
So there's no real guarantee that any of those things will happen to make the casino successful in that way?
No, there really isn't. I mean, so circling back to the study, the reason for this is pretty clear. I mean, these things are kind of like internal polls that candidates release during the course of a campaign. And I've yet to find a single instance in which an analysis produced by this firm produced results that were counter to the goals of the campaign that hired them.
So knowing this, would voters buy into this?
They could. I mean, I think the idea and the promise of economic development and jobs is an enticing one for voters in general. I mean, that's why candidates talk about it all the time. And if they don't, they do so often at their peril. So it makes sense that they would tout a big economic benefit. But you have to be very skeptical of those numbers.
Great. Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
And finally, after a recent algae bloom, the Department of Marine Resources says it's working to recall shellfish harvested on or after September 10th from a stretch of the Down East coast.
You know, we don't at this point have exact numbers or amounts of product that are affected by the recall, but we've had real good compliance with dealers.
That's Marine Resources spokesman Jeff Nichols. He says levels of domoic acid in shellfish harvested from an area between Mount Desert Island and Gouldsboro prompted the closure. Domoic acid is a neurotoxin produced by some types of algae and can become concentrated in shellfish. Consumption of the contaminated shellfish can cause sickness, confusion, memory impairment, and even death in marine mammals and humans. Nichols says the toxin has been present in low levels for years.
It's only since last year that it's gotten to levels that, based on FDA guidelines, result in closures.
The department has also taken the precaution of closing coastal areas from Deer Isle to Roque Bluff. And for more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Friday, September 15th, 2017. Thanks to our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.